Welcome, America. Fasten your seatbelts. This is the Jay Sheldon Show.
Take two. Those pesky pipe bombs will not go away, and it just gets stranger and stranger. Russians keep showing up dead, which isn't always a good thing. And what color is your roof? It might matter. Welcome to the Jay Sheldon Show. Take two. I'm not even going to try and explain last night. We didn't make it. I'm sorry. We were all prepped. We were ready to go. I've added a couple things, but this is kind of what we were going to do last night if we had made it on the air. We didn't because of a combination of a bunch of technical reasons and a couple of other personal things, and it just turned into such a mess. At one point, my Irish temper came out, and I said, fuck it. Don't do it. I'm done. I'm too frustrated to go on the air anyway. So there you go. But I'm back. I'm here. Thank you. And thank you to those of you who are sticking with it and hanging out. I appreciate it. We got all that. We got more coming up tonight on the show. And as usual, we got to tell you about one of our sponsors. And oops. I knew that was going to happen. Let's do this one. There you go. Be awake, not woke. It's Blackout Coffee. They helped to sponsor this show, and we hope that you will do some business with them for not only that reason, but the main reason is that Blackout Coffee supports our American values, our conservative American values. They are the most awake company I think I've ever seen. Honesty, integrity, family values. They've got all of it. They support all of it. They support our troops, our first responders. And that's not enough. You got to have a good product. You can't just be an all-American company. This company makes the best coffee you will ever taste. I promise you. I absolutely promise you. You will love this stuff once you try it. Just try a single bag of Blackout Coffee. Give it a shot. You'll be back. Because it's just that good. They work with local co-ops, American farmers, to source the best beans. They have what's called a small batch roast process. That means your beans only get roasted when you place an order. Within 48 hours, they roast your beans, and then they ship them out to you. Takes another, maybe 2-3 days to get to your house. That's a fresh roasted bag of coffee, and that makes all the difference. Always full-flavored, robust, bold, never bitter. Blackout Coffee, they've got some of the most amazing blends over there. Trial of them, Brutal Awakening, Morning Reaper 2A, which stands for Second Amendment. And I'll tell you, they've got a line of coffee, of course, but teas, some very nice premium teas. None of this is terribly expensive. You can afford it. And do yourself a favor. Get yourself a bag of Blackout Coffee beans. Grind them up. Try it out. You will be amazed. Trust me on this. It's just incredible. I drink it. I drink it every day. I have it on the show. And it's just that good. All right. They also do hot cocos, by the way. So if you want to check them out, some great flavored cocos. Really good stuff. Blackout Coffee. Now, listen, we got you a hell of a deal here. When you check out, make sure you use our promo code J20. J20 at checkout. And that'll get you 20% off your first order, no matter how small or how big, 20% right off the top of your first order from Blackout Coffee. J20, J-A-Y, my first name, J-A-Y-20, for 20% off your first order from Blackout Coffee. And use the link in our show notes. It's right at the top there, and you can check it out. Wow. Amazing. Okay. Thank you, Blackout Coffee, for being part of the show. We really appreciate your being here. We really do. Means the world to me. All right, the January 6th pipe bombers, or pipe bombs, actually, you know, when you think about it, it's not the January 6th pipe bomb. It's the January 5th pipe bomb, which is when they were allegedly planted. This is from Real Clear Investigations. It's by Julie Kelly, who is one of the last true reporters we have out there, sadly, but true. Newly disclosed video. Now, show this story, I'm telling you, it's such a setup. It's such a plan B. This new video that's just been released shows a dark SUV pulling up to the headquarters of the Democratic National Committee in Washington. 9:44 a.m., January 6, 2021. Sits for several minutes until a uniformed man with a bomb-sniffing dog enters from the right and steps up to the vehicle. The driver complies with his command. The dog sniffs inside and outside the car, which is soon allowed to enter the parking garage. The man and the dog exit back to the right. Not that big of a deal. Nothing remarkable about this scene, except one little detail. The uniformed man and his train... You hear the dogs in the background? The uniformed man and his trained canine came within feet, a few feet, of where plainclothes Capitol officers would discover a pipe bomb that had been planted the night before. The bomb, which the FBI has described as being viable and capable of inflicting serious injury, that's the FBI's own words, along with a similar one found near the headquarters of the Republican National Committee, not really, but sort of, would appear to be the most overt act of violence of any that were created on January 6th. Representative Barry Loudermilk, Georgia Republican, chairs the House Oversight Committee subcommittee on now conducting a separate inquiry into January 6th. How could a bomb-sniffing dog miss a pipe bomb, which he was a few feet away from? These dogs, folks, are trained to the nth degree. If there was a bomb there, this dog would have reacted to it. We'll add this to our long list of unanswered questions, as the representative says, and continue getting to the truth. The number of weird, make-you-go-hmm stuff connected to this January 6th pipe bomb thing just gets weirder and weirder. Secret Service, their detail failed, assigned to the Vice President, Kamala Harris, inside the DNC headquarters at the time the bomb was discovered, failed to find the device before she showed up. The fact the bomb at the RNC headquarters was discovered by a government contractor with ties to the FBI. The law enforcement officials repeatedly described the bombs as highly dangerous, but also said they could not have detonated on their own because of the cheap kitchen timers. Okay. The cell phone data that might help to locate the perpetrator, deemed as corrupted, can't be read. How convenient. You remember the FBI used this geofence technology to identify virtually everybody and anybody within the Capitol grounds? Their warrant to get all that cell phone data gives no indication. The warrant included the Capitol Hill neighborhood on the night of January 5th, which was allegedly when the bombs were planted. The FBI assistant director leading the stalled investigation that had previously been put in charge of the investigation into a kidnapping plot, of course, you remember that, with Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, in which the Bureau tried to get alleged conspirators to build bombs. An FBI whistleblower has testified the bombs were inoperable. claim apparently supported by the video that shows authorities allowing kids in the video to cross the street towards the DNC after they had discovered the bombs. And yet the cops are just letting kids run all over the place. Unbelievable. The greatest mystery to this whole story might be why Washington has completely lost interest in this, I have to say, alleged act of domestic terrorism. 3 years now since January 6th. Attorney General in name only, Merrick Garland, says a criminal investigation proceeding at an unprecedented speed and scale into the protests, casting a wide dragnet for Capitol protesters across the country. Federal and local authorities in Washington have tracked down and prosecuted more than 1,300 defendants, all of whom were unarmed, including 62 individuals so far this year. Nobody's paying attention to this story. We are keeping an eye on it, and we will continue to keep an eye on it, because things about this make no sense. Check out the link. It's in our show notes. There's more details in there. But this, Julie Kelly writes an amazing article, very detailed, a lot of stuff in there that will make your head spin. And they're just ignoring it, hoping it will go away. It ain't going away. We won't let it go away. Unbelievable. Karen Hill. Hey, Karen, good to hear from you. Big round of applause and a hearty hi-ho. Karen says, talking about blackout coffee, I also drink it every day. Just received my second order. Well, thank you, Karen. Thank you so much. I told you you'd be back. It's good stuff. Check out Blackout Coffee. Links in our show notes. thanks, Karen. Love you to pieces. All right. Russians keep turning up dead. Now, I know some of you will go, good. The more the merrier. But this is a weird, weird story. It's from the Wall Street Journal. Russians keep turning up dead all over the world. Listen to this. On a Tuesday afternoon last month, Maxim Kozmenov drove up to his new condo overlooking a palm-lined Spanish beach, unaware that an assassin was waiting for him in the parking garage. Local police, stationed less than 500 feet away, needed only minutes to respond, but witnesses said it was too late. For former Russian helicopter pilot, the killer had vanished, driving out over the 28-year-old victim's bullet-ridden body. Ran him over after he shot him. A medic who sliced through his shirt with bandage shears noticed the accuracy of the 5 small-caliber shots, one directly piercing his heart. 6 months before that happened, Kozmenov, native of a town near Russia's North Korean border, defected to the Ukraine. His Mi-8 attack helicopter taking small arms fire as he flew 20 feet above the ground. Wow. Turning over the gunship, he collected a $500,000 reward and encouraged his fellow countrymen to follow his example. Moscow is not denying the killing of this pilot. Since the invasion of Ukraine, prominent Russians, a lot of them, have died in weird or unusual circumstances on three different continents. That's what the headline says. Russians are turning up dead all over the world. Some thought to harbor politically subversive ideas. Others caught up in a run-of-the-mill criminal warfare. Some apparently died of natural causes. But there are enough of them that while we cannot trust anything on Wikipedia, please don't use Wikipedia for anything. They have published a running list. Yeah, 51 names. 51 names entitled Suspicious Deaths of Russian Business People, 2022 to 2024. Businessmen have been found hanged in London, drowned in Puerto Rico. A ruling party boss fell from the roof of an Indian hotel, and a 46-year-old deputy science minister died of an unexplained illness on a return flight from Cuba. Ah, the good old unexplained illnesses. Spanish police still investigating the death in 2022 of Sergei Protosenya, former deputy chair at gas producer Novatek JSC, with his wife and his daughter at their home in Barcelona. This list, look at this story, goes on and on and on. 51 people on the list since 2022. That's not that long ago. Russians keep showing up dead. This is a weird, weird story. It's from the Wall Street Journal. So, you know, take it for what it is. But, man. Hey, I forgot to give a hat tip at the start of the show to Thema98. Thema98 is one of our newest followers. Thank you so much. We appreciate you doing that. And if you wouldn't mind, if you're just finding this show for the first time, please do sign up for a free Rumble account. Easy to do. Just put in your email. You're done. Confirm it. You go. Good to go. You can take part in our live chat. You can follow the show. You can give us a thumbs up. All of those help this show out a lot. Doesn't cost you a single dime. So thank you so much for all those of you who have. We really, really appreciate it. We're growing little bites at a time, but we'll get there. All right. Like I said, we win again. We're growing little bites at a time. This story broke over the weekend from Florida. Yes, Florida, thank you. The University of Florida terminates all DEI employees. That, of course, in order to comply with state regulations. If you are a DEI employee from the University of Florida, goodbye. Fired them, all of them. According to a memo sent last Friday, there is a new state law which targets college funds that are spent on DEI, that bullshit. University of Florida officials say they have closed the Office of Chief Diversity Officer, eliminated DEI positions and administrative appointments, and halted DEI contracts with outside vendors. 13 positions and 15 administrative appointments ended. Now, sucks you're out of a job, but you know what? You should have picked something better as a career choice. You should have known this wasn't going to last. Approximately $5 million previously allocated to DEI initiatives reallocated into the Faculty Recruitment Fund. Eliminated employees will get 12 weeks of standard pay and encouraged to apply before April 19th to other positions at the university. We win again. Little bites, little small bites. That's all it's going to take. University of Florida, we salute you. Yes. Speaking of which, I love this guy. Who is this guy? Is he identified? He's not. But he's some sort of member of, I assume, I don't know whether that looks like Congress or a parliament. It doesn't say. But, you know, these pronoun morons. Karen says, isn't that fabulous? Proud alumni here. Go Gators. Seriously, you're University of Florida alumni. All right. Good deal. Pronouns. She, he, him, her, ze, ze, zao, zut, they, them, whatever. Shut up. I will call you whatever you appear to be. If you're a man, you will be he, her, or your name. Bill. If you're a woman, you will be her, she, or Karen. I am not required to live in your fantasy world. And that is exactly what this guy has to say. Check this out.
I'm not adopting your language. I'm not respecting your preferences because you don't own reality. You don't own grammar. You don't own definitions. You don't get to tell me. You're not important enough to provide me with an instruction manual on how to talk to you. Are you kidding?
Yes! Oh, you're not important enough to provide me with an instruction manual on how to talk to you. Yes. Write that down. Put it on a t-shirt. That is brilliant. It is Congress, by the way, because you can obviously he's... I don't know who that is. I wish I did. But that is... That is it in a nutshell. We are not submitting to your delusions. I told you we would never give up on the Maui story, on the East Palestine story in Ohio, on those tragedies. Maui continues to be a weird one. Was it a land grab? How did the fires start? How did they burn so hot so completely? This is one of the scariest things you will ever see. Biden first let the cat out of the bag. I'll show you that video in a minute. But then, remember I told you, we were talking about how the color blue, apparently these lasers or directed energy weapons cannot ignite things that are in the color blue. There is a video I told you about. I found it, and I'm going to play it for you in just a second here. But take a look at this. This will open your eyes a little bit.
So I came across this post from Liz Churchill. And as I was listening to Joe Biden speak and the things that he said, I said, huh, I remember seeing some videos about certain lasers not affecting a certain color. Now, listen to this first before I show you the rest.
Because a lot of, if you fly over these areas that are burned to the ground, you'll see in the midst of 20 homes that are just totally destroyed, one home sitting there because they had the right roof on it. And anyway, since I took office...
It had the right roof on it?
It's sitting right there because it had the right roof on. Are you hearing this? Fires do not care what roof you have on your house.
I'm sure it survives. The shirt that says, Sista Revolution. Hard to believe, huh? The whole building goes down.
That is very odd. How can a blue shirt not catch fire when everything around it is burnt. And that is absolutely crazy and weird, but this is not it. And I don't think this guy knew about this whole blue and laser thing. And if you think that's, you know, I'm making stuff up, watch this next video.
Now, this is weird. This is a destructive, high-powered laser. And they've got pieces of what look like cloth or paper, which they're shooting this laser into. There's yellow, red, blue, green, and white. Watch this.
Program for different wavelengths.
Nothing.
And there is a house sitting.
Look at that. Absolutely no effect on the blue cloth.
Right there, because it had the right roof on. Now, Joe Biden, you know, half the time he doesn't know what the hell he's saying. He doesn't know where he's at. And I'm sure it slipped. And he let it out. He let the cat out of the bag.
As he usually does. But look right there. You see that? There's a blue car. Every other car around it completely burned to a crisp. This blue car, untouched. I wish I could explain it to you. I cannot. There is no explanation that makes any sense. We got the Texas fires going on. We've got other fires around not just this country, but the world, with mysterious origins. It's just a moment. It's weird. So, did you get your booster shots? Are you, you know, it's beyond me, but I still see people wearing masks. I'm not kidding. These idiots. I still see people wearing useless masks, which is insane. They're still doing it. That's how psychologically these people have been affected by trillions of dollars worth of propaganda. Aladdin. Amazing how these leftist commies can get away with murder. The way their propaganda arm, the fake news, just sweeps this shit under the carpet. And, you know, it's one thing that legacy media, et cetera, the government, keeps putting this bullshit out there. What is beyond me is there is still a big chunk of people that eat it up, that buy it, that don't even for a second, not for a millisecond, make them stop and go, wait a minute, what the hell? It's beyond me. And which is how these people keep getting away with it. We went through 2+ years of this COVID-iot crap, this plandemic garbage. And now, have you seen the headlines from the CDC? Basically, the CDC is now saying COVID is just pretty much the flu. Yeah. This from MSN, strangely enough, but I like to use left-leaning or wacky left websites because, you know, I don't want to take everything from the right and conservatives, just to provide some variety. McGroin Hertz. Hey, welcome in, McGroin Hertz. It's official. Biden is a mass murderer, never mind serial killer. Yeah, you got that right. But check this out. Look at this. After all the crap, after the billions of dollars that was spent, after the millions of lives that were lost, after we were forced to take this ridiculous mRNA clot shot, on Friday, the CDC mothballed their long-standing isolation guidelines for COVID. saying people no longer need to isolate for days after catching the coronavirus. Instead, if you feel sick, stay home. But you can leave home and resume normal activities as soon as symptoms are getting better. Basically, they're calling COVID now the flu. It hasn't changed. It's the same old COVID that they were, you're going to kill your grandmother. Children are going to die. Put the mask on. Take the shot. Take the booster. Take the fifth booster. Isolate yourself. Lock yourself down. Now, it's just the flu. These bastards. And yet, like we said, the seals, the trained seals are out there in big numbers.
Okay.
How did we get here? I mean, on one hand, it feels like it happened not overnight, but within a very short amount of time. But I guess the reality is it's been happening. Slowly, little, you see what I said? Little bites? That's what the left has been doing. Little bites. Here's a good example, as a matter of fact. I wasn't planning to connect these two together. But here's another way that they're just taking these little bites, making you think one thing that isn't true. Listen to this Mayorkas idiot. Listen to this.
First of all, let me say that we don't use the term illegal immigrants. I actually issued a policy in the Department of Homeland Security. We use the term non-citizen to respect the dignity of every individual as a preliminary matter.
To respect the dignity of illegal aliens who first act coming into the country is to break our law. Many of which who go on to commit crimes, violent crimes, including rape, murder, assault. But we don't want to call them illegal aliens. Now the new buzz term is newcomers. This is what I'm talking about. This is how we got here. These little bites, these little bits at a time. They keep pounding and pounding it. And they won't give up. They won't go away. They think they've found a formula that works. It's shows like this. It shows like Dan Bongino, Steven Crowder, all these Rumble shows you find on this channel. Those are what's going to make a difference. People like you, stick to it. Stick to your guns. Do everything you can to get you, your friends out to vote, and vote, and vote. Get registered if you're not. Hunter Biden in the chat. Come on, J-Bo. You're still pushing that right-wing conspiracy theories about Maui being torched by some crazy weapon. No, I'm not pushing that as a theory. I'm saying there are things about the Maui fires that do not make any sense. And no one's asking the questions. That's what I'm saying. But nice to have you here, Hunter. Welcome. Keyboard warrior, this is from Travis. Travis and Flint on X. Keyboard warriors are never the same tough guys in person. Maybe we should all start doing this. Take a look when this little idiot nudge gets confronted by somebody he threatened.
For me at all? Steven Crowder at all? No, not familiar?
No.
This is you threatening to slash my tires here?
Oh my God, you
remember this?
Out.
Slashing my tires and actually...
We're trying to work.
Let me ask you, why do you think it's okay to threaten to slash someone's tires?
Hey, I didn't do it.
I'm a conservative with a difference of opinion from you. And I've never threatened actions of violence. I've never threatened to slash anyone's tires.
I think you need to get out or we're going to call the police.
You know what, Les? Let's call the police. Officers? Because matter of fact, we actually have... Actually, I would like to speak with the police. We're about to file a report very soon. This is a part of being a man is owning up to the actions here. When you threaten violence against someone, part of being a man is taking ownership of your actions, taking responsibility.
Exactly. That is Steven Crowder. This little dweeb threatened him online, and he went and confronted him in a peaceful way, but nevertheless with the cameras rolling. And he will, oh, yeah, we're going to call the police. And like Crowder said, good, do it. Call the police. We want to talk to him because we're going to file a report. Aladdin, funny how these so-called right-wing conspiracy theories have all come true. You know, you're exactly right. We're running out of them. Honestly. How many? Tons. We are running out of conspiracy theories, folks, because they've all come true. All right. One more for you, then we're going to get on to our book. I was born in Connecticut. I moved when I was in my 40s to Key West in Florida, lived in Monroe County, worked for the sheriff's department there. And beyond that, I've moved all different places. But I never spent any time beyond the East Coast, and I'm sorry for that. I really wish I had. I would love to have seen Texas, the Midwest, Arizona, New Mexico, California. Nah, it's no, thank you. But there are lots of parts of the U.S. I will never get to see, sadly. I really wish I had. But one of the things that fascinates me about the desert area is tumbleweeds. I don't really know a whole lot about them. I know they are invasive. I know they're a pain in the butt. They're dried up plants that roll along in the wind. But I had no idea exactly how bad tumbleweeds get. I got video for you. You will not believe. If you, like me, have never been out to Texas or any of the areas, Utah, places that have tumbleweeds, this is insane. Hundreds of thousands of tumbleweeds have taken over a neighborhood in Utah. Crews are working to clean up after high winds caused literally hundreds of thousands of dried up tumbleweeds to pile up in a neighborhood in South Jordan, Utah. Cars and homes buried by these tumbleweeds, which are a huge problem, and actually they are a fire risk because these things are all dried up. They burn very quickly. Take a look at this. This is it. Look at that. That's a truck in the background with some sort of cap on it. Look at the house. These are all tumbleweeds. Look at that. This is insane. Look at that. Look. Completely covering the roads. Man. Wow. And again, these things are completely dry. They would go up like a tinderbox. That is crazy. Insane. I mean, we've all seen the video of one or two tumbleweeds blowing across the road, you know. Hollywood does that because it's very typical. But look at that. South Jordan, Utah. Man, I had no idea. That's crazy. The tumbleweeds. Oh, no, that's the autumn leaves. Yeah, it's different. Okay, book time. Hey, by the way, I heard from our friend, who I don't think is in the chat tonight, AMREP. He wanted me to be a guest on their show, which I would love to do. So hopefully we're going to be able to set that up. I did finally get an email back from AMREP, and we're going to try and set up a a coordinated effort back and forth for both of us to be on each other's show. That'll be fun. But he also mentioned, screw people who don't like your books. We love them. We enjoy listening. So anyway, we have continued with our book. We did ask you whether or not you enjoyed it or not. We got quite a few replies. People said, yeah, please keep going. We have read books on this show from the very beginning, 567 shows ago, and we do classic children's literature. We've done The Wizard of Oz, the Peter Pan, White Fang, Treasure Island, Winnie the Pooh. Right now we're doing The Five Little Peppers and How They Grew. Great book, by the way. First published way back in 1881. My goodness, 1881. Can you imagine? And written by Margaret Sidney. There's a whole series of the Five Little Pepper books. So, Hunter says, living in Detroit, J-Bo, you are mesmerized by tumbleweeds. WTF, dude, the painted desert doesn't do it for you. I've never been to Detroit either, like I said. All my life was East Coast boy. So there you go. All right, The Five Little Peppers and How They Grew. Let's continue on with our book. But there came a day soon when everything was still around the once happy little brown house, when only whispers were heard from the white lips and thoughts were fearfully left unmuttered. On the morning of one of these days, when Mrs. Pepper felt she couldn't exist an hour longer without sleep, kind Mrs. Beebe came to stay until things were either better or worse. Still, the cloud hovered dark and foreboding. At last, one afternoon, when Polly was all alone, could endure it no longer, she flung herself down by the side of the old bed, buried her face in the gay-patched bedquilt. "Dear God," she said, "make me willing to have anything." She hesitated. Yes, anything happen. To be blind forever. And to have Joey sick. Only make me good. How long she'd stayed there, she never knew. For she fell asleep. The first sleep she had since Joey was taken sick. And little Mrs. Beebe, coming in, found her thus. "Polly," the good woman said, leaning over her. "You poor, pretty creature, you. I'm going to tell you something. There, just to think. Joel's going to get well." "Oh, Mrs. Beebe," cried Polly, tumbling over in a heap on the floor, her face as much as could be seen under the bandage in a perfect glow. "Is he really?" "Yes, to be sure. The danger is all over now," said the little old lady, inwardly thinking. "If I hadn't come." "Well, then, the Lord wants him to," cried Polly in rapture. "Don't he, Mrs. Beebe?" To be sure, replied the kind friend, only half understanding. "Well, I don't care about my eyes then," cried Polly, and to Mrs. Beebe's intense astonishment and dismay, she spun round and round in the middle of the room. "Oh, Polly, Polly," the little old lady cried, running up to her. "Do stop. The doctor wouldn't let you. He really wouldn't, you know. It'll all go to your eyes." "I don't care," repeated Polly, in the middle of a spin, but stopped obediently. "Seems as if I'd just as soon be blind as not. It's so beautiful. Joey's going to be well." Sunshine again. But as Joel was smitten down suddenly, so he came up quickly, and his hardy nature asserted itself by rapid strides towards returning health. And one morning, he astonished them all by turning over and suddenly exclaiming, "I want something to eat." "Bless the Lord," cried Mrs. Pepper. "Now he's going to live." "But he mustn't eat," protested Mrs. Beebe in great alarm, trotting for the cup of gruel. "Here, you pretty creature, you, there's something nice." And she temptingly held the spoon over Joel's mouth. But with a grimace, he turned away. "Oh, I want something to eat, some gingerbread or some bread and butter." "Oh, Dear me, ejaculated Mrs. Beebe, gingerbread. Poor Mrs. Pepper saw the hardest part of her trouble now before her, and she realized the returning appetite must be fed only on strengthening food, for when it was to come from, she couldn't tell. The Lord only knows where we'll get it, she groaned within herself. Yes, he knew. A rap at the door, and little David ran down to find the cause. Oh, Mammy, he said, Mrs. Henderson sent it. See? See? And in the greatest excitement, he placed in her lap a basket that smelled savory and nice even before it was opened. When it was opened, there lay a little bird, deliciously roasted, folded in a clean napkin. Also a glass of jelly, crimson and clear. Oh, Joey, cried Mrs. Pepper, almost overwhelmed with joy. See what Mrs. Henderson sent you. Now you can eat fit for a king. That little bird certainly performed its mission for life, for as Mrs. Beebe said, it just touched the spot. And from that very moment, Joel improved so rapidly they could hardly believe their eyes. Oh, I haven't been sick, he cried on the third day, true to his nature. Mammy, I want to get up. Oh, no, dear, dear, you mustn't, Joel, cried Mrs. Pepper in a fright, running up to him as he was preparing to give the bedclothes a lusty kick. You'll send them in. Send in what? Asked Joel, looking up at his mother in terror as the dreadful thought made him pause. Why, the measles, Joey. They'll all go in if you get out. How are they going to get in again, I'd like to know, asked Joel, looking at the little red spots on his hands in incredulity. Say, Ma. Oh, yes, they will, said his mother, as you'll find your sorrow if you get out of bed. Well, they will. Oh, dear, said Ma Joel, beginning to whimper as he drew into bed again. When can I get up, Mammy? Oh, in a day or two, responded Mrs. Pepper cheerfully. You're getting on fine. You'll be smart as a cricket. Shouldn't you say he might get up in a day or two, Mrs. Beebe? She appealed to that individual who was knitting away cheerily in the corner. Well, if he keeps on as he's begun, I shouldn't know what to think, replied Mrs. Beebe. It beats all how quick he's picked up. I never seen anything like it, I'm sure. And Mrs. Beebe was a great authority in sickness. The old sunny cheeriness began to creep into the brown house once more and to bubble over as of yore. Seems as if 'twas just good to live, said Mrs. Pepper thankfully once when her thoughts were too much for her. I don't believe I shall ever care how poor we are, she continued, as long as we're together. And that's just what the Lord meant, maybe, replied the good Mrs. Beebe, who was preparing to go home. Joel kept the house in a perfect uproar all through his getting well. Mrs. Pepper observed one day, when he'd more turbulent than usual, that she was almost worn to a thread. 'Twasn't anything to take care of you, Joe, she added, when you were real sick, because then I knew where you were. But, well, you won't ever have measles again. I suppose that's some comfort. Well, little David, who'd been stunned by the sickness that had laid aside his most constant companion, could express his satisfaction and joy in no other way than by running every third minute and begging to do something for him. And Joel, who loved dearly to be waited on, improved every opportunity that offered, which Mrs. Pepper, observing, soon put a stop to. You'll run his legs off, she said. He sent David to the third time to the woodpile for a stick of just the exact thickness, and the little messenger declared wasn't to be found. Have you any mercy? You've got him going all day, she added, glancing at David's pale face. Oh, Mammy, panted David. I love to go. Here, Joel, it's the best I could find. Handing him a nice, smooth stick. I know you do, said his mother, but Joe's getting better now, and he must learn to spare you. I don't want to spare folks, grumbled Joel, whittling away with energy. I've been sick, real sick, he added, lifting his chubby face to his mother to impress the fact. I know you have, she cried, running to kiss her boy, but now, Joe, you most well. Tomorrow I'm going to let you go downstairs. What do you think of that? Hooray! Screamed Joel, throwing away the stick and clapping his hands, forgetting all about his serious illness. That'll be prime. Aren't you too sick to go, Joey? Asked Mrs. Pepper mischievously. Oh, I'm not sick, cried Joel in the greatest alarm, fearing his mother meant to take back the promise. I've never been sick. Oh, Mammy, you know you'll let me go, won't you? I guess so, laughed his mother. Come on, Fran, cried Joel, giving her a whirl. David, who was too tired for active sport, sat on the floor and watched them frolic in great delight. Mammy, said he, edging up to her side as the sport went on, do you know, I think it's just good. It's so frisky since Joe got well, isn't it, Mammy? Oh, yes, indeed, said Mrs. Pepper, giving a radiant look in return for his. And when Polly's around again with her two eyes all right, well, I don't know what we shall do, I declare. Boo, cried a voice next morning close to Polly's elbow, unmistakably Joel's. Oh, Joel Pepper, she cried, whirling around. Is it really you? Yes, cried that individual confidently. Tis I. I say, Polly, I've had fun upstairs, I'll tell you what. Poor boy, said Polly compassionately. I wasn't a poor boy, cried Joel indignantly. I had splendid things to eat. Oh, my. And he closed one eye and smacked his lips in the delightful memory. I know it, Polly said, and I'm so glad, Joel. I suppose I'll ever get so many things again, observed Joel reflectively. After a minute's pause, as one and another of the wonderful delicacies rose between his mind's eye, not unless I have the measles again, says Polly. Can't I have them again? Mercy, no, cried Polly in intense alarm. I hope not. Well, I don't, said Joel. I wish I could have them. 200 times. So there. Well, Mammy couldn't take care of you, said Ben. You don't know what you're saying, Joe. Well, then, I wish I could have the things without the measles, said Joel, willing to accommodate. Only folks won't send them, he added in an injured tone. Well, Polly had the hardest time of all, said her mother, affectionately patting the bandage. I think so, too, put in Ben. If my eyes were hurt, I'd give up. So would I, said David to Joel in a fashion, cried also, I know I would, while her little Phronsie squeezed up to Polly's side. And I, too. Would what, puss? Asked Ben, tossing her up high. Have good things, cried the child in delight at understanding the others. I really would, Ben. Well, I hope so, said Ben, tossing her higher yet. Don't laugh at her, boys, put in Polly. We all are going to have good times now, Phronsie, now that we've got well. Yes, laughed the child from her high perch. We aren't ever going to be sick again. Ever, any more, she added impressively. The good times were coming for Polly, coming pretty near, and she didn't know it. All the children were in the secret, for as Mrs. Pepper declared, they'd have to know it. And if they were let into the secret, they'd better keep it. And that's where we're going to cut it off for today. We will continue on tomorrow's show with more of the five little peppers and how they grew. What a great story. 1881, can you imagine?
Wow.
Hey, that's it, folks. Thank you. Thank you so much for popping by. All the folks, McGroin Hertz, Saladin, Karen, Hunter, all the folks in our chat here. If you'd like to join in on the show, you can. It's easy. It's free. Sign up for a Rumble account. Follow the show. Give us a thumbs up. Jump in on our live chat. We're here Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. And unless days like yesterday happen. Otherwise, we're here. So thanks. Thanks for sticking with me. I will... Yeah, I will see you all again tomorrow.
You just heard The Jay Sheldon Show. Join us Monday through Friday here on Rumble. Thanks for watching.
Snort.